The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome to the show. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday, August 23rd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And also, it's got to be Ivor Redhead's birthday. Happy birthday, Ivor Redhead. We wish you the best. On today's show, we have got more coverage for you from our Seattle Hemp Fest weekend. We just spent in Seattle an amazing 3 days, and we've got more video from that, including for Rockin' Friday today. Herb Thrasher is going to be calling in. We've got one of his favorite bands, Lacero, introduced by Cavi Gold Records, as a matter of fact, and they played on the main stage. We'll have that for Rockin' Friday for you. Also, in our Radical Rant segment, we've got Sam Chapman. He's a good friend of the show, and he was the lobbyist who helped get our dispensary bill passed up here in the state of Oregon. He was on a Hemp Fest Hemposium panel. We'll bring that to you, at least part of that to you, in the Radical Rant section today. At half past, we've got our regular visit from our good friend Danny Danko, who always visits us on the fourth Friday of the month for our Cultivator's Corner. Danny Danko's the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine. He'll be previewing the U.S. Cannabis Cup about to take place in Seattle, Washington on September 7th and 8th. We will be there with 420 Radio, bringing you all the coverage we can. Also, some of the miscellaneous videos that we've got, we'll bring those to you in our Behind the Headlines segment. We've got some great views of Dab Central that include Cannabis Carrie with her family. She's so happy to have met her birth parents, and they were there to, at least her dad was there to visit at Dab Central. We've also got Sharon Ravert from Georgia Moms for Marijuana and our Atlanta crew, Stony and Snap. Oh, they are so much fun. And a little bit more of Ganja John at Dab Central. But before we get to all of that, we've got your 420 Radio news. And in the headlines today, the Liberal Party candidate, the leader of the Liberal Party, I'm still on cold drugs, folks, I apologize. The leader of the Canadian Liberal Party admits having smoked pot, not just in his past, but in his recent past. We'll give you the details. There's also a hard-hitting expose on Huffington Post about how the DEA has quietly ordered armored car and security companies not to work with state legal dispensaries, you know, those cash-only places. Also, a great poll coming out of Colorado on how Coloradans feel about Amendment 64. We got to look at Massachusetts medical marijuana permitting and a SWAT team to take down some dangerous criminals in Texas. It's all coming up on the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.
Everywhere you go in Washington State, things are greener than ever. Why? Because last November, Washington voters made adult recreational use of cannabis legal, which is why the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup is coming to Seattle once again to salute Washington's historic victory. If you love cannabis, then get yourself over to the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th as the marijuana community gathers in force to celebrate our newfound freedom. Meet the businesses of the emerging cannabis industry. Learn about cultivation, topical oils, concentrates, edibles, and more. Sample dabs, buds, and delectable morsels of cannabis cuisine. Then rock out on Saturday night at our Smokin' Hot concert featuring Slightly Stupid and Redman. And of course, on Sunday evening, we present the U.S. Cannabis Cups for the top indicas, sativas, hybrids, edibles, and concentrates of the great state of Washington. Plus, we honor professional traveler and outspoken cannabis advocate Rick Steves with the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Come to Fremont Studios on September 7th and 8th in Seattle for a historic celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Friday, August 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Canadian MP Justin Trudeau said he smoked pot 5 or 6 times. From UPI.com. Liberal Party leader Justin Trudeau said he smoked marijuana while a member of Canada's Parliament after backing tougher penalties for users. Trudeau admitted Thursday he smoked marijuana as recently as 3 years ago as a lawmaker, telling reporters in Quebec City he smoked marijuana at a dinner party at his Montreal home, QMI agency reported. He said, quote, I took a puff, passed it to the next person, end quote. Trudeau said he smoked marijuana 5 or 6 times in his life and never used harder drugs. His vote on the measure that ushered in mandatory minimums and increased maximum penalties for growing 6 or more marijuana plants prompted critics to call him a hypocrite. Step 1. Force pot clubs to use cash. Step 2. Bar them from using armored security. Step 3. Finger wag about drug violence. From Huffington Post. Less than 2 weeks after Attorney General Eric Holder announced plans for sweeping drug sentencing reform to help fix a broken system, the Drug Enforcement Administration has ordered security and armored vehicle companies to quit serving state legal cannabis providers, according to industry sources. Armored vehicles allow California's legal medical marijuana dispensaries a secure way to transport large amounts of cash. These services are critical since federal authorities pressured banks and credit card companies to stop servicing the pot industry in 2011. Tom Angel, chairman of the policy group Marijuana Majority, argued that the move will increase crime. Quote, by pressuring banks not to do business with dispensaries, the federal government ensures that many of these tax-paying businesses have to become cash-only, increasing the chance for robberies, end quote. Kevin Sabet, a former Obama administration drug policy advisor, said medical marijuana dispensaries are exactly the kind of large-scale drug offenders that Attorney General Eric Holder has promised to target for federal enforcement. Quote, there are robberies and deaths as it is. It's the illegal drug business, Sabet said. And with the money these guys are making, I'm sure they'll be able to create their own armored cars that discreetly transfer their cash. End quote. Colorado poll. Colorado voters support Amendment 64 from Quinnipiac.edu. Colorado voters support 54-41% the state's new law legalizing marijuana for recreational use. Support is 73-24 among Democrats and 54-39 among independent voters, with Republicans opposed 63%-35%. Voters 18 to 29 years old support legalized marijuana at 74%, while voters over 65 years old are opposed at 56%. Voters say 54% to 39% that the legalization law will lead to illegal marijuana sales across state lines, but legalization will not create drug abuse problems. Voters say 55% to 42%. Half of Colorado voters, 51%, say they've tried marijuana. That includes 55% of men and 47% of women, 43% of Republicans and 58% of Democrats, and 51% of independent voters. But only 15% of Colorado voters, including 35% of voters 18 to 29 years old, say they will smoke marijuana after recreational sale becomes legal in January. Quote, there are partisan differences, but no gender gap as Colorado voters support legalization of marijuana. Many voters admit they've tried pot, but don't expect a Rocky Mountain high once marijuana becomes legal, said the pollsters. Over 100 apply for Massachusetts medical marijuana permits from Boston.com. Over 100 groups have applied to operate nonprofit medical marijuana dispensaries in Massachusetts. The applicants are competing for a maximum of 35 licenses allowed under the law. During the first phase of a two-step selection process, officials will conduct background checks, accompanied by, once they clear that initial review, they will then be submit a final application, accompanied by a non-refundable $30,000 fee. Marijuana charges for man age 70 and woman age 60. From KVUE.com. A search warrant in a West Austin home has led to marijuana charges for two people. A narcotics officer tells KVUE that a concerned citizen made a call to police about narcotics at a home in West Austin. A search warrant was obtained and the SWAT team entered the home just after 6 a.m. Four people were inside the home. Two of those people, a 70-year-old man and a 60-year-old woman, were charged with marijuana possession. Police issued them both citations. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, August 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take another look at Seattle Hemp Fest with our special candid videos from Dab Central. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
From the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Well, it's Thursday. Here we are at Dab Central. At least it's beginning to look like Dab Central. Things are a little screwy. We got moved from our original location. There was a washout on one of the trails over there by the beach, so we had to back up just a little bit. Here's Adam Hand working hard as usual. Tried to put together some banner poles. Our friend some oil slick here. But this is going to be the place to be, folks. This is what it looks like. This is the before angle.
That's history.
And we'll bring you plenty of the after. Stick around.
We have no power, but we have God to John.
I'm here. Hi. I have multiple new weapons.
You nice.
So,
that's what they tell me. Could be. Yeah. A subsidiary of Oil Baron Enterprises.
Oh, thank you.
So, hemp fast is legal here at Dab Central.
It's like you can't make it past the first round. And I've never been hassled more at hemp fast.
Really?
Yeah. About torches and about dabbing.
Oh, by the staff?
Yeah.
Kind of set up all sorts of privacy. Well, yeah.
Nothing you can do, but we got away with doing dabs all afternoon, so I'm not worried.
If only we had power.
Yeah, if only we could actually, you know, do a show.
Oh, well. Tomorrow.
Oh, well, listeners, we had fun for you.
See you at the dab.
I'm Dab Jesus. Good
night. Rookie, you can't do a grinder car. You need a real grinder.
These are what we call high-class problems. Hanging out with Cannabis Carry on a Friday where we had no power.
Did good work then. Carrie.
Oh, hi.
Oh.
This is my dad, David Rodriguez. This is the first time he's come to Hemp Fest. What do you think, Dad?
That's great. I love it. Sure, never too old.
And this is my mom, Carol Rodriguez. Also, this is like her 10th time here.
Really?
She's old hat.
Right. Right, right.
I wouldn't miss it. Awesome.
Yeah. The freedom is great here at the Dab Central booth. It's like everybody we know is here.
It's family reunion time. That's what it is.
A lot of people from the South.
Yeah, we got the South didn't used to represent here at HempFest, but now Russ has been trickling them in, and the South is representing. It is time for the country. You've reached the tipping point when the South is showing up.
Yeah, I'm the Harriet Tubman of weed.
That's right.
We're sneaking them in on the Undergreen Railroad.
That's right. So I gotta say, if you haven't been to HempFest, it's time for you to come, because now that it's legal, it's even better.
Got no excuse. And they got that great new bridge.
The bridge to somewhere.
Yeah, eventually. The Stephen Colbert Bridge to somewhere eventually. Comes right out of the Homewood Suites, goes right into the middle, like, you know, it overlooks our booth right here. So it makes it really easy to get back and get some rest, which we're going to do, but we've got the VIP party to go to.
It goes till midnight.
All right.
We'll rest when this is over. We'll rest Monday or Tuesday.
Finish this power thing, man.
This guy's on it right now.
Where's the nun stuff?
He is on it right here, right now. All right, set up.
Woo-hoo! Chad from Hollywood Lighting is hooking up our power. Finally, I'm Radical Russ. And it is Saturday morning at Hemp Fest, about 11. You saw the time. And I'm going to take my ceremonial first bong hit of the day. So here we are with Handmade Apparel, Oil Slick, Happy Daddy, Cliff Maynard. Handmade Apparel. I mentioned Handmade Apparel. I said first bowl.
Official bong of 2013. First rip. Saturday, 11 a.m.
Yes,
Cheddar.
Ceremonial Saturday morning bong. How was that?
Yeah, it was perfect.
From cross country, we have
Stoney.
Snap. We go from Atlanta. We met at the Southern Reform Conference. And now you drove up to Seattle Hemp Fest. What do you think?
Recreational cannabis.
You should go back there tomorrow and get a lot of nachos.
Like?
I want to say thank you to Vivian McKee and Conti McKee for inviting me here. It is the greatest experience, and I would not have missed it for the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right on. So we're gonna bring this freedom to the South?
We have to.
Yeah.
By the time we get back from this event, we should have some freedom in the South. Well, see, we should all be an ass together.
We have to overgrow the government together.
And they want it so bad they're willing to drive 2,500 miles.
Oh, 4,000, 10,000.
We've been all over this bad boy trying to let everybody know we're not going to stop.
Right on.
We've gone miles and miles and miles and been broken down and picked back up, and we're still going.
Excellent.
We're still going.
Excellent. Well, enjoy Hemp Fest. I know it's been a long
Peace
drive.
And love.
Match one.
Match one, indeed. Those are our good friends, Stoney and Snap. We have so much fun with them at the Seattle Hemp Fest. I hope that someday you, dear listener, will have a chance to get out to Seattle Hemp Fest as well. You're invited to join us at the Dab Central booth and match one, absolutely, for sure. Hey, just about that time, we're going to have to take a little break, I believe, so stick around. Hanging out with Brian the Red here.
Hey.
We have actually discovered hidden video that was still on the camera that we got to do for next week.
Yes, we do. We've got some vape pen interviews.
That'll be very cool. All right, stick around.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And as you know, on Friday, we are made of metal with our good friend Herb Thrasher joining us. How you doing, Herb?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Man, glad to be back. It's been a long last couple of weeks, especially this last week of so much fun and busyness and getting back to the groove.
Oh, yeah. Seattle Hemp Fest is, you know, 3 days. It feels some like six by the time you get done with it. There's so much to do, and especially you, this time you did double duty as a vendor like you always do, but you also had a speaking gig or two. How was that for you?
Man, it was awesome, dude. It was everything I thought it would be. I totally enjoyed getting up there and spreading the message. I feel like I have maybe a little bit of a different message than maybe the norm, so I was glad to relay that and just be a part of all you guys. And you know, as you said, man, that event's so awesome, so I just love being a part of it. And we'll definitely discuss some of that tonight on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 p.m. Pacific time, and we'll have some clips and footage of some other fun stuff that you and Iko and some of us gathered throughout the whole massive weekend.
Yeah, yeah, and we've got coming up here on our Rockin' Friday, we've got one of our favorite bands out of Tacoma, Lucero, we're going to play here. But before we do that, we do have the breaking news that we're also going to be doing a tribute on the Thrasher Hour tonight. Tell them about that.
Yeah, man, one of the founding members of Blue Oyster Cult, and man, you know, they were one of the great classic rock bands, kind of heavy, you know, through the late 70s and early 80s, they just kept jamming. So Blue Oyster Cult had so many hits. And one of the founding members, Alan Lanier, passed away this week. And we'll give a little update on that, what happened with Alan. And he fought a long battle. You know, it's the same story that we always hear amongst people. But, you know, man, we got to pay a little tribute and play some great, great songs, because Blue Oyster Cult is one of those bands that influenced so many bands, and you know, you probably don't hear it, but the bands would tell you that Blue Oyster Cult was one of those.
All right, and as far as Seattle Hemp Fest, we'll have to talk about that. There were so many great rock bands there, not only Lucero, but we also saw Head PE and Everlast and a few others. This must have been a great Hemp Fest for you.
Man, it was. And I you know, as you mentioned, I'm there vending and working. And one of these days, I'm going to get there and get to go and see all these bands, because I do miss out on so much great music. And as you mentioned, there are so many great bands. And, you know, and I mean, they have a plethora to pick from being in Seattle right there.
Sure.
You know, it's not that Seattle Hemp Fest, not that we're just in a legal state, but as you guys know, Seattle has been one of the leading music cities. Forever, man, with the punk scene in the 70s and then the alternative scene to the late 80s, early 90s. So much great music in Seattle, and all these bands have kept it going for so long. And as Russ mentioned, right now we're going to get to see a clip from Lucero. They're from Everett, Washington, basically the Seattle area. And we play them a lot on this show. We love Cavi Gold Records. They're up and coming, and they're growing. And Lucero got a main stage gig this time, and so they played 3 o'clock on Saturday, which was, you know, pretty close to that 420 set. So they were fired up, and this tune right here is Climb Inside. Shout out to those guys, because they are right now at 5 o'clock. They will have a set at the Jefferson State Hemp Music and Hemp Expo down in Grant Pass, Oregon. So you guys down in Southern Oregon, Northern California, definitely look at that festival. It's going on this weekend, all day today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And Lucero is there right now, and they have a 5 o'clock set. So you guys turn it up. Join us tonight for Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, and let's pass on some rock and some weed, and you guys be safe out there. Turn it up, folks. Lucero.
My name is Scott McKinley from Cavi Gold Records. This is our second year to participate here with Hemp Fest. We're very, very excited to sponsor for you guys. And for our second year in a row, we get to bring to you Lucero.
Love you. Oh, whoa. Sorry about that. Good God. Okay. What is up, Hemp Fest? We are Lucero from Everett. So happy to be here. We'll be right back.
my due. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
Beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losing. What? Free weed. Free weed. Danny Danko on the normal radio. Free weed. Free weed.
Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, and we are joined on the telephone by our good friend, the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine, Danny Danko, who's fresh from Seattle Hemp Fest himself. How you doing, Danny?
Oh, Russ, I'm great. I am just reinvigorated, and Seattle Hemp Fest just renewed my faith in our community and our ability to just keep this fight going for cannabis freedom.
Yeah, it was quite a contrast from last year's when there was a lot of tension over the I-502 issue, but now that it's passed and everybody there at Seattle Hemp Fest was able to consume legally, possess legally, it seemed like everybody was a lot more mellow, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It was billed as, you know, a year of healing, and I feel like it was. I feel like the vibe was definitely, just very good vibe. And I think, people are kind of over the fight. You know, the people spoke, the votes were taken, and now we move on from there. And, you know, if you have a problem with the law, you improve on it. If you're part in the business, obviously we want to be able to grow our own. So, you know, that was my big push in my speeches, was just, you know, everyone's afraid of these conspiracies. You know, Marlboro or Monsanto are going to take over our scene. But the truth is, if you grow your own, they can never do that. You know, you have the means of control over your industry that way.
Absolutely. That's why home grow is so important. It's been kind of disconcerting to see the last, 8 or 9 medical marijuana states pass laws that don't allow the patients to grow their own.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that the polling, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, the polling would suggest that people might reject that. But I think that new polling and more advanced sort of number crunching, like the kind that you've been doing and Paul Armentato and people at Normal, have shown that, you know, people aren't opposed to home growing. They just want to make sure, you know, nobody's, you know, basically like trashing their neighborhood or, you know, destroying some houses and stuff. And I think if we show them the way it can be done, the way that it's being done in Colorado under regulations and, you know, indoors and in greenhouses with controlled atmosphere and lighting, I think, we can prevail, and home growing will be part of future bills, and all those, you know, bills that have passed will eventually include that, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too. Now, what did you think about the Seattle Police Department and their Operation Orange Fingers?
The Dorito campaign?
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, at first I just, you know, I figured it was sort of a publicity stunt for them, and it worked because they got national, international news for it. And it was really kind of the talk of the festival. So, you know, and they only brought 1,000 bags of Doritos. So clearly it was just, you know, really a stunt on their part, but it was mainly, I guess, in order to inform people of what they can and can't do under the new law. And in that way, I think that it was an interesting way for them to engage our community, you know, rather than, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, they were arresting, you know, dozens of, if not more, people at the festival just for partaking. And here they're actually, like, you know, telling us where we can smoke, how much we can possess. And, you know, I thought it was a really interesting thing. You know, at first I was a little cynical about it, but then I realized, hey, you know, what kind of publicity do they want? They only want to basically let us know what the law is. And So it was interesting.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me, too. One of the other major changes at Seattle Hemp Fest, at least from my point of view, was the addition of that new Stephen Colbert Bridge to Somewhere. Drops you off right in the middle of Hemp Fest, takes you to the, you know, right across the tracks and over to where I usually stay as the hotel there. But one thing about that is the bridge kind of ramps up paralleling Hemp Fest, and then it has this little platform area, and the cops just kind of station themselves up there like a hawk's nest watching over the whole of the main stage grounds. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime you get that many people together, it's just amazing that a stoner crowd could be so, you know, peaceful and calm. I think if it was any, you know, if we were celebrating any other kind of thing like alcohol or anything else, there would be, you know, fights or people passing out. And I mean, I'm sure there was some of that, but it was really, you know, fairly uneventful, I think, on a crime perspective. And it's amazing what a job that the volunteers do. I mean, as far as setting everything all up and cleaning everything all up, they are amazing, and Vivian McPeak is just, you know, an incredible leader of all that crew.
Yeah, they do a great job every year. And again, you know, no major incidents or hassles. In fact, I was backstage watching Head PE perform on the main stage, and they got them a sizable crowd in front of that stage. And, you know, some of the, you know, he started kind of encouraged some of the punk kids to start a little bit of a mosh pit. And that didn't last maybe a minute or two before Hemp Fest volunteers were saying, no, we don't want none of that. We want none of that. And right. Just tamped it right down. All right, Danny, we got a few other questions coming in from our chat room. I've got one I've got to ask, and I'll get to our chat room question. And this one has to do, I just loved it. I saw you challenge the University of Mississippi Pot Farm to get into the Cannabis Cup. Tell our audience about that.
Yeah, I mean, they put out a, you know, in that weed show with Sanjay Gupta, there was a number of things that, you know, kind of stuck in our craw. And one of them was that they tested a strain that had been confiscated by the DEA and sent to Ole Miss to the lab at 37% THC, and we just, you know, we were flabbergasted because we've never tested really anything close to 30%. We've gotten, I mean, I think we've seen 26, 27, you know, like that's really pushing the boundaries and the limits of what's possible when testing a flower. So when they said 37, you know, my monocle popped out, and I wanted to know, you know, how that was calibrated, how they figured that out, what machine they used, was it gas chromatography or liquid chromatography? Did they retest the sample at a different calibration? Because that was just outrageous. And I think that they, you know, clearly they're exaggerating the numbers for one reason or another. Obviously, they want to make people think that pot these days is stronger than the pot that they smoked, because pretty much anybody under 80 has smoked pot. So,
yeah, it's just a little ridiculous, and hey, who knows, maybe...
So we challenged them. We offered them a free entry into the Cannabis Cup coming up in Seattle September 7th and 8th. We gave them a free entry if they want to enter that strain and put it up against, you know, the world's finest, you know, Pacific Northwest finest, and whoever else travels up there for that. We'd like to see them enter. We offered them free entry for their 37% strain, and part of the score comes from lab testing. So if we test it and it tests at 37, then, you know, that would go a long way to basically changing the science of cannabis testing and cannabinoid profiles.
Yeah. You know, the world is changing if we can get the U.S. government to win the Cannabis Cup. All right. let me get to the question from our chat room. They want to know, are you going to be at the Boston Freedom Rally the following week?
Absolutely. Yeah. It killed me to miss it last year. And it's the first year that it's going to be a 2-day event. That's September 14th and 15th, I believe.
Yep.
The weekend after our Seattle Cup. And we will be there. We'll have a High Times booth right next to the normal booth. And we're really excited. We're hoping to throw a party for VIPs and attendees and speakers that Saturday night. And we're excited about being a part of Boston Freedom Rally. That's my hometown, so I love it there, and it's a great event, and I'm excited for the first 2-day Boston Freedom Rally.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm heading back for my first time since 2009, so I'll see you there. We'll have a lot of fun. Last, we should definitely get to the preview of the weekend prior to that, the Seattle Cannabis Cup, the first Seattle Cup that's a cannabis cup, not a medical cannabis cup. Give folks the details they need to know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information at medcancup.com. All the frequently asked questions, you can buy tickets. If you use the promo code DANKO, D-A-N-K-O, you can get 10% off of any of those tickets, the VIPs, the two-day passes, the one-day passes. So use that promo code to get 10% off. Also, we're going to have tons of speakers. We're honoring Rick Steves with a Lifetime Achievement Award that was named after Dr. Lester Grinspoon. And we have Slightly Stupid and Redman performing at the WAMU Theater that Saturday night, 7th of September. It's going to be really cool. I've got two free weed shows, grow panels, both days at 3 p.m., the 7th and the 8th. And I've got a bunch of people, DJ Short, Swerve, Aaron from DNA Genetics, Scott from Rare Dankness, Kyle Cushman, just a ton of famous breeders and growers that are going to talk about cultivation. Both days at the event, we're going to make those live free weed shows. And yeah, we're excited. It's having just been in Seattle, I'm really excited to be going back and doing an event of our own.
Yeah, and people can get the website at cannabiscup.com, and I suppose tickets are available there as well.
Yeah, and cannabiscup.com is right now for Amsterdam tickets, which is coming up in November, and MedCanCup is for the Seattle event, although each one will take you to the other one. But yeah, Seattle is coming up just a few weeks. We're very excited.
Excellent. Yeah, it would be nice to be getting back up to Seattle. We'll see you up there in our 420 radio booth. I hope you stop by and we'll talk to the live audience.
Yeah, Boston Freedom Rally I'm excited about as well. And of course, in October, New York Harvest Fest, which I've actually missed for the past few years, but I'm hoping to go to this year in October. So it's a nice winding down to the summer of cannabis legalization. I mean, we've come so far just in the past few months in a lot of ways, and we just keep pushing. We're going to get even further.
I agree. Danny Danko, we appreciate all you do for the cannabis community. And of course, you can get the Ask Danny Danko column up there on High Times. You can get free weed at hightimes.com as well, or just listen to 420 Radio. We've got it on replays on Wednesday and throughout the week. And Danny, we'll see you up in Seattle and then up in Boston and then wherever else the next place we end up at.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun time going around and celebrating the plant and pushing for the marijuana law reform. And I should congratulate you too on a daily column at hightimes.com, I believe, right?
Yeah. Getting those out on the 101s and the newses. And I tell you what, it helps stave off impending homelessness. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, keep up the great work and thank you for having me.
All right. When we come back, we got
some
Sam
Chapman.
We'll
be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the money.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, once again, going back to Seattle Hemp Fest, our good friend Sam Chapman, who is the lobbyist who helped get our dispensary bill passed, was there at Hemp Fest. He was a part of a panel discussing legalization politics in America, and I guess, you know, as a lobbyist who helped successfully pass a bill, he would have a lot of good things to say about that. We also really quick want to give a good shout out to our friend Calico Castile and Brightside PDX. You can check them out at brightsidepdx.com, the newest, latest, and greatest dispensary to benefit from those new laws. Here's Sam Chapman.
I live in Oregon, in Portland currently. I got involved with medical marijuana specifically and cannabis in general in high school. And then from there in college, I just graduated from the University of Oregon last year, where I got really involved with the movement through Students for Sensible Drug Policy. And you're probably, a lot of you are probably asking yourself, what is that? That sounds like a DARE program or something. Actually, it's the opposite of DARE. Students for Sensible Drug Policy is a national organization with over 200 chapters across the country at colleges, and they work on issues from harm reduction and drug use in general to legalizing marijuana to teaching students how to deal with police encounters. So that's kind of how I got my start in policy in general. Throughout college, I was involved with the Measure 74 campaign in Oregon, which sought to bring medical marijuana dispensaries, failed, got 44%. I worked on the Measure 80 campaign to legalize marijuana, failed, got 47%. And just recently, through the legislature, we've had a lot of success. In fact, the most success we've ever had, I would argue, in Oregon through the legislature. We just legalized medical marijuana dispensaries in Oregon. We just passed a bill that added PTSD to the qualifying conditions for our medical marijuana program. And we also just passed a couple of bills reducing the marijuana sentencing guidelines in Oregon. A lot of people have known that marijuana has been decriminalized in Oregon, well, for a long time. It was the first state to decriminalize, right? However, anything over 28 grams is a felony, was a felony in Oregon. Now we've bumped that up to a quarter pound. I know a lot of people, not enough. Well, we're getting there. But now it is no longer a felony to have up to a quarter pound. It's a misdemeanor. So, yeah. That's basically what we've been doing in Oregon. You're probably asking yourself, what the hell is up with legalization in Oregon? Good question. There's a couple things circling around right now. We don't have a formulated game plan. However, if you were to ask me whether I think it's going to be 2014 or 2016, I'm leaning towards 2014. It's because we're going to have same-sex marriage on the ballot, our governor's up, a bunch of politicians are up, and we could very well see the highest youth voter turnout in an off-presidential election in Oregon history. So it's going to be a fun election to watch, for sure.
Right on, right on. Thank you all so much. As you guys can hear, we've got an amazing series of experienced activists here, and obviously everyone's working in different jurisdictions, different areas, different lawmakers, but what I want to hear is kind of what we all share in common, which is, what's been working in terms of your campaign? Is it a safer model where you got to compare cannabis to other models? Is it just a matter of educating the voters? Is it bringing soccer moms on side? So I want to hear what's been effective in your outreach, in your campaign, and make change in your communities so that we can all learn from each other and move ahead.
Well, one of the groups that I work with now is the Cannabis Action Coalition, and we started a website called 420 Leaks. And what we've done is we've basically taken all the public records requests that we've been getting on the Liquor Control Board and all the various other state agencies, and now we're publishing them online for you all to see. And that really has started to change some of the conversation that we're beginning to have with even the Liquor Control Board. One of the things that they were, they had not done an environmental impact study. Our researchers were able to uncover that fact, and we started publishing it and talking about it at the public hearings. Now we see that the Liquor Control Board said, oops, well, maybe we better do that. So we're finding that really getting the information out and exposing it to people is really what's making the difference. The other thing is that we're getting people to come out in numbers to meetings, to rallies, to public hearings. And we really need to push this on you guys that you don't have to be afraid to speak in front of these people anymore.
I agree. I'm a former elected official. I can't tell you the difference it makes when 30, 40 people, let alone 400 people, show up for an issue. It totally changes the dynamic of the discussion and the vote when elected officials are kept honest about their responses to these things. And it's all too easy to pass bad laws in darkened rooms. So good work, John. Jared, what's been working at your end?
The internet, mostly. It allows us to reach out, and we're getting organized, and we're sharing our experiences with other people. A lot of people are imitating each other across the country. I've been, you know, with those shirts that I make, I send them all over the country, and it inspires people to, you know, wearing this shirt in public is kind of a big deal over in different states and in different situations. We recently saw in the news that someone who consumed cannabis had their child taken from them, and the person who was taking care of their child allowed the child to die or through negligence or abuse. I think it's ridiculous. Cannabis consumers are good parents. We tolerate alcohol consumption. You know, marijuana is safer than alcohol. We should allow parents to consume cannabis. And in Washington, we're pretty spoiled, and even the Northwest or the West Coast, we're kind of spoiled. But other parts of the country, it's pretty bad. So if you can reach out through the internet, you might be able to help motivate people, give them ideas, share some of the things that you do here in the Northwest with other people around the country.
Thank you very much, Jared. Dale, you know, many of us thought California was going to be first out of the gate in terms of legalization over the years because of the progress otherwise. What's going to be different this time around? We saw, I think, the last time that you guys were looking at legalization, there were some internal issues as much as external that changed everything.
There's a lot that's going to be different, and I mean, a major difference being this is a different populace of electors we're going to have. These are 6 years. We're 6 years down the line. In 2010, we barely had a plurality of support going into those polls. Now we have growing majorities going forth. This is going to be a presidential year election in California, okay? Off-year election. 2010 was an absolutely terrible right-wing election. Turnout on our side was atrocious. This is really, unfortunately, it was predictable. You lose an easy 3-4% of your support just by running in an off-year election. And in a place like California that's so expensive to run in, we're just not going to repeat that mistake again. However, by waiting till 2016, we will inject the marijuana legalization issue into the national presidential race, won't we now? Because they're going to have to debate this question, no doubt about it, if it's going before the California voters in 2016. So we really hope to elevate this whole discussion to a national level, and I think that's going to help us generate some of the support that we'll need in California, the financial support, to get this whole thing through. But I'm really excited about the potential. Our coalition includes, I'm from Normal, and we have the California Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform, CCPR as we call it at the moment, but it, which is left over from the old Prop 19 campaign that just barely failed, did so well in 2010 except for stage for what we have here now. It includes the Union, the UFCW, the NAACP, of course our old friends in the ACLU, the Drug Policy Alliance, and we have a couple of Latino organizations, and we're really trying to increase our outreach in that community. I'm really encouraged by how broad the coalition is already, and we still have 3 years to go. So I just look forward to seeing what kind of lessons we're going to learn here in Washington with how the feds deal with the situation here, because that's going to dictate our next move.
That's right, WA. You are the canary in the mine shaft, like it or not. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But you're also clearing the path, right? You're plowing the hard fields we can all walk down. Chris, why don't you tell us what's going on in Boston, what's been working in Massachusetts?
What's been working is I really think we now have, it's proven that we have the support. You know, we have the numbers, we have the status quo. Before, where everybody was kind of in the closet, we didn't know how many people actually supported this. And we do a public polling questions and paying for, you know, Massachusetts Normal. I think we put it a lot of money for a 2000 and going into the 2012 elections for public polling questions to get what type of legislation people would support, what type of wording in the laws, and just and we also got medical that year, so that was a good year for us in Massachusetts. And you know, we have the numbers and we have the support, so we're just rolling with that now. You know, we're just let it be known, you know, it's to have dialogues with people, get out there. We're collecting signatures, constantly collecting signatures, coming up here in 2014, and then in 2015 for the 2016 election, we'll be doing that. And you know, it's really interesting just to see how the mentality has changed. You know, it's okay to have a discussion with about this in random places. You know, the supermarket, at work. You know, don't be afraid. You know, talk to your doctor about it. Don't be and all that's changing, and that's all for the better, and it's making our jobs easier. I know that. So it's exciting to watch. It is exciting to watch and see what's going to happen here in Washington and in Colorado. They are the guinea pigs, you know, so it's exciting times.
Right on. Well, thanks for the good work. If Dr. Sanjay Gupta says it's all right, we can all talk about this right now. Sam, what's going on in Oregon? Tell me about what led to this recent success. How have you guys had such impact?
Yeah, so, one of the things about Oregon is we're in a unique situation. I mean, we don't really need to do much more education. I mean, there's always going to be education. We still need the mothers. We still need the grandparents vote, right? Because they turn out to vote every single time. Whereas, you know, we're still convincing some of our own, like, it's time to come out and vote for this. If there's one issue you vote for, let it be this one. You know, but the main thing that worked this session in Oregon, which is a little, you know, it's kind of counterculture to the way we normally think about getting things done, which is be really loud, educate, get out there, challenge your politicians, make sure they work for you. And that does work in a lot of states. But I would encourage people to consider the philosophy of less is more. And that is how we passed all of the laws this session in Oregon. We did not do a massive campaign. We did not, run to the top of the building and shout from you know, the skyscrapers saying we need medical marijuana dispensaries. We brought some people in. We created a bill. We hired lobbyists. We lobbied it. And we got it passed, right? And it wasn't a whole big...
Old school.
It was not a dog and pony show because we didn't need one. I mean, it helped that we had a legalization measure going through the legislature at the same time, so there's all this hoopla over here about what's going on, and then we're the moderates sneaking in over here, right? So I think there's a lot of political strategy that can be had in really thinking about, you know, changing the mindset of how we pass these laws. You know, if you can't necessarily, you know, it costs a lot of money to put stuff on the ballot, as Dale had already said, you know? It's, you know, it doesn't cost nearly as much in Oregon, but it still costs a decent amount of money, and we're not a state that's known to get a lot of money for our legalization initiatives yet. So, you know, less was more. You know, we got a couple people to testify. We had a patient. We had someone representing every demographic, whether it was a mom, a first responder, you know, people with certain illnesses. We kept it very strict, and we told the community, look, if you want to show up and testify, fine, but let us help you, right? I mean, how many of you want a lobbyist to grow your weed? Nobody wants, I'll tell you, as a lobbyist, you don't want me to grow your weed. I mean, you know, so it's just kind of taking a different approach. And there's a lot of stuff going, on there, you know, in terms of how to get it done. But that's what worked for us. We kept it short. We had political connections. We swayed them, and we didn't make a whole bunch of noise about it.
I like it. And I think the one thing that we got to add is that everyone who's here at this table benefits from the work of the people who came before them. None of this happens overnight. This happens over years and decades of work and of information and of convincing politicians and mostly electorate about what needs to be done.
I think that's one of the best presentations I've heard. Sam Chapman, you know, deliver the true science on this. If you're growers, grow weed, right? Smokers, smoke weed. Let the political people figure out how to do the political stuff and learn from each other and put our best foot forward by finding where our strengths and weaknesses are. You want a guy like Sam Chapman, clean cut looking guy, serious, down to business kind of guy in there lobbying for you. Hey folks, thanks for joining us, and thanks for putting up with my stuffy nose during this whole thing. Head colds suck. Always get one when I come back from Seattle Hemp Fest. I wonder why. We're going to be here later for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Make sure you check it out at 8 p.m. Coming up next, the Jody Emery Show with a collection of her speech and some others from Seattle Hemp Fest. What a surprise. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you